Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavadam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Navadeepdam Kijai Jagadavasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lasadevi Kijai Samveda Bhakta Vrind Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Gol. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Okay, so Omagana Tibidandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Midkam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we're continuing our voyage with Gopakumar. Does anyone remember where he is now?
Vaikuntha.
Okay. So he arrives in Vaikuntha and all the Vishnu's associates like Narada and Lakshmi and Bhudevi, they're all with him worshipping Lord Vishnu. And Gopakumar always wants to assume or keep, the same form. He never wants to change into the form of a Vaikunthavasi or any form other than that of a transcendental cowherd boy. Okay, so when he's in Vaikuntha, he also saw some other cowherd boys who were playing the flute for Lakshmi and Narayan. And sometimes Gopakumar would see Lakshmi and Bara. Bara, of course, means Bhudevi, as Radha, Radha or Chandravali. But he was very sad. And sometimes Lord Vishnu appeared almost like Gopal on the throne to please him. And Gopakumara's mood was always disturbed by the awe and reverence they had there in the Vaikuntha planets. And he always wanted to embrace and kiss Narayan, but that wasn't appropriate because you're not supposed to do that. And Narada Muni, he found Gopakumar very, very depressed. Let's go back to the previous one. And he asked Gopakumar what the problem was. And he touched Gopakumar on the head with his veena, and Gopakumar revealed his mind and said that he was very depressed in this place. And Narada Muni said, I've never heard of anyone depressed in Vaikuntha before. And there's no doctors in Vaikuntha, you know, no psychiatrists, no antidepressant here. He said, your mood is not compatible with a Vaikuntha mood, even though the Lord is the same. And Narada Muni also explains various things to Gopakumar, like what are Shakta Vesha avatars, who is Lakshmi, and that Krishna is the source of all incarnations. And then there's some discussion, I'm not going to go into it, about deity worship between Narada Muni and Gopakumar. But Gopakumar becomes very anxious to see Vrindavan and to see Gopal, his worshipable deity. And Narada says, I'll tell you a secret. There's another place very close to here which is known as Ayodhya. And beyond there is Dwarka. But first, you should worship Lord Ram, and Lord Ram will send you to Dwarka. And Narada said, you don't need permission to leave here. The Lord told me to give you instructions to go to Ayodhya. So then, he goes to Ayodhya, and there he sees all the monkeys chanting, Ram, Ram, Ram. And the monkeys, they're so rambunctious, that means they're tricky. They grabbed Gopakumar's flute, and he had to grab it back from the monkeys. They were just playing tricks on him. And Hanuman escorted Gopakumar to Ayodhya, and there Gopakumar saw Bart and everybody else. And at first he thought that Bart was Ram. But then Bart covered his ears, saying, I am simply a servant. And then Hanuman brought Gopakumar to Sri Ram, Sita, and Lakshman. And Gopakumar offered obeisances, and Ram picked them up. Let's get it. Is anything wrong here? I thought that there was a message. Then Gopakumar bowed down to Ram, and Ram addressed him. He said, my dear friend Gopakumar, get up, give up this reverence. And then he observed Ram's pastimes, but he still missed the qualities and pastimes of Gopal. Sometimes he even imagined Ram to have the qualities of Gopal, but it wasn't true. And so Vraj, or Vrindavan, imposed itself on the heart of Gopal, and Hanuman pacified him. Lord Ram noticed this and sent Gopakumar with Jambavan to Dwarka, And he said, go to Dwarka and you will be happy. Here's Dwarka. Pretty nice city, isn't it? That's Dwarka. Krishna's city in the ocean. Of course, Krishna himself erected that city or constructed that city with the help of Vishvakarma because he was being attacked in Mathura. Does anyone remember who was attacking him in Mathura? Jarasandha. Very good. And who was Jarasandha ultimately killed by? Bhimsen. How was he killed? Torn him apart. And how was Jarasandha born? Two parts. And he was joined together by who? Jara, the witch Jara. Nice story, isn't it? Anyway. So, then he goes to Dwarka. And he sees in Dwarka that the Yadavas are the most attractive persons. Here's the gate to Dwarka. Pretty good, isn't it? No, I don't know if this is exactly accurate. This is an artist's imagination. So, the Yadavas embrace him and bring him into the assembly hall. And in the assembly hall, he sees Krishna, who has two arms there, and with him are Vasudeva, Balaram, Akrura, Gada, Satyaki, and Ugrasena. And Narada Muni was entertaining Krishna with jokes. And Uddhava was massaging Krishna's feet, and Garuda was playing. And the Lord told Uddhava, please bring Gopakumara closer. And the Lord put his feet forward, and Uddhava forcibly put the lotus feet of Krishna on Gopakumara's head. The Lord touched Gopakumara, took the flute out of his hands, and Krishna started crying and holding the flute and remembering Vrindavan. Then the Lord entered his inner quarters, and holding Gopakumara's two hands with Balaram and Uddhava, he went in. And all the wives of Krishna entered, and Gopakumara then had a vision in which Madan Gopal, or Krishna appeared as Madan Gopal and Devaki, as Yashoda. Then Krishna lifted Gopakumara up and cleansed Gopakumara's body, but Krishna did not want to eat because he was feeling separation from Vrindavan. But his mothers forced him to eat, and Krishna personally fed Gopakumara and ate himself. Then they all sat down and took prasadam. So Uddhava took Gopakumara to his house to stay, and then Uddhava gave Gopakumara a lot of mahaprasadam, and he got a lot of mercy there. And the residents of Dwarka, this opulent place, told Gopakumara, it's not appropriate for you to continue dressing like a miserly forest character. You should dress like us. But Gopakumara would never change his dress. He was so attached to his mood of a coward boy. And sometimes Gopakumara would see Krishna with four arms, and sometimes Krishna would leave to visit the Pandavas. So then, Gopakumara was tormented by separation, and he went to the house of Uddhava, and Narada Muni came to visit this house. And Narada Muni had a conversation with Gopakumara. Gopakumara asked Narada a question. Why do I see you everywhere? I see you in heaven. I see you in Vaikuntha. I see you in Dwarka. What's happening here? And Narada Muni replies that Krishna's servants also expand in the various places, like Garuda comes from, I think, Subal, and Hanuman is also an expansion of one of the coward boys. And Krishna's paraphernalia expands in all of his various abodes. And Narada Muni says to Gopakumara, but I'm amazed that you look the same everywhere. And Gopakumara told Narada Muni, you know everything about this. You're not really amazed. Narada was talking to Uddhava and said to Uddhava, just see, this coward boy is seeking after something unobtainable by persons like you or me. Wandering here and there, he has never transcended distress. It's very interesting. Well, actually, let's bring that one. Let's go back to Narada. Narada said to Uddhava, why don't you enlighten him? So they had some discussion. Who would enlighten Gopakumara? And actually, because Uddhava was the oldest, he had the first call to enlighten Gopakumara. And they explained that Vrindavan is very far away, and the happiness there is very hard to attain. We can only pray for it. So Uddhava thinks himself unqualified to describe the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan because he says, I'm only a Kshatriya. And Narada Muni starts laughing at him and says, Even here in Vaikuntha, you think you're a Kshatriya? I mean, this is weird. And anyway, so then Uddhava says, but even the Lord appears as a Kshatriya. He takes on that mood in Vaikuntha. That is the Vaikuntha of Dwarka. So then Narada begins to explain Goloka Vrindavan. And he describes Mathura, Vrindavan, and he says Goloka means the land predominated by cows, and it's not obtainable by one who is worshipping in awe and reverence. Of course, we should worship in awe and reverence until we become qualified to attain Goloka Vrindavan. We should worship in awe and reverence until we get rid of our anarthas, kamakrodha, madamatsarya, bharyabhaya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and all those other wonderful things that we are attached to. He said, prema is only obtainable when one thinks of the Lord in an intimate way. He said the Gokul in Gokul is very supremely great, and he describes that when Krishna descends to Gokul, he brings his paraphernalia with him. So that's why the Lord of Vaikuntha, when Gopakumar was in Vaikuntha, would sometimes disappear because he was going to local Vrindavan. And then he describes the various pastimes of Krishna when he was young and the different stages and ages of Krishna, like Kumara, Poganda, and Kishora. And which of those three stages is the highest stage of Krishna's life or Krishna's pastime? Does anyone know? Kishora. Kumara is a very baby, Poganda a little older, like prepubescent, and Kishora, where Krishna is entering puberty. That's considered the highest, where he's about 15, 16 years of age. And Narada describes all the different demons, the Kart demon, Trinavarta demon. He describes Krishna's pastimes as Makanchor, Krishna's pastimes of eating dirt, Damodar, all these different pastimes. The Brahma Vimohana Leela, that means when Brahma stole the calves and the coward boys, and how the coward boys imitate bees. So all he goes through this whole list of all Krishna's pastimes. And then he talks about the rasa dance, of how Krishna disappeared from the rasa dance. And Krishna is indebted to the gopis, and the gopis are always envious of Krishna's flute. And then he describes Akrura taking Krishna out of Vrindavan, and the residents of Vrindavan getting very upset. So then he says that in Krishna's eternal pastimes in the spiritual world, Krishna leaves Vrindavan, but then he comes back immediately. But in Krishna's pastimes in this world, in Gokul, then Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and then he doesn't come back. So there's a difference. And we'll hear about that in a few minutes when we get to Goloka Vrindavan. Narada Muni says, Goloka is the same as Gokul. He says, in Gokul, not everyone can see him all the time, but he appears occasionally at some times to devotees. But in Goloka, everyone sees him all the time. So when you go back to Godhead, you can see Krishna all the time, unless he hides a little bit, or appears to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa. Of course, actually, there's no Kamsa in the spiritual world, but they talk about demons. There's a rumor that there's a demon. And even devotees sometimes take the part of apparent demons in the spiritual world, but it's just devotees and there's no killing, as we'll hear later on. So Narada talks about the different goals of life, and he says, I'm not a fit person to describe this. Uddhava should talk about it. So Uddhava speaks, and he also glorifies the gopis, and he says he wants to become the dust or a creeper, and he describes the rasa lila to Gopakumar. Then Narada Muni continues, and he says, he first glorifies Uddhava, and he says, even the goddess of fortune, or even Krishna's wife here, Rukmini, can't achieve the gopi's fortune. The goddess of fortune performs austerities for many, many thousands and millions of years, but she can't enter into Vrindavan. The reason is that she's attached to her opulence. That's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So then Narada finally says, how one can actually attain prema. And listen to this. These are the 10 steps. And if you do this, you'll attain prema very, very quickly. He says, you have to have a strong desire. In other words, you shouldn't have any desire in this material world. Two, you have to actually fight to overcome obstacles, which are the anarthas. 3, meditate and sing about the pastimes of Braj. That's called Sankirtan. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Associate with those who have prema. Next one, 5, is keep your prema concealed. Hare Krishna. How's the family doing? All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The boy is still in the hospital.
He's still in the hospital, but yeah. Is he serious or?
No, they did one surgery yesterday and they're going to do others the following
day. But so he'll be all right eventually. Good. So number 5 is to keep the prema concealed. Like if you have prema, don't go around telling everybody about it. Because that's going to keep you from attaining prema or the highest stage of prema. 6 is reside in a holy place, like Govardhan. Or make your home a holy place. Don't do anything nonsense in your home. 7, utter humility. And Narada Muni describes what utter humility means, how to manifest it. He says, 1, think of yourself incapable and lowly. That means incapable, I'm not able to do anything, I have no good qualities, etc. 2, cultivate speech in that mood. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes his poems, "Oh Gopinath, Gopinath, I'm a materialistic rascal. Please take this sinner weeping and weeping to your lotus feet." So we should cultivate speech in that mood. Of course, not that we should go around telling everybody how low we are all day long. I mean, it's kind of stupid. Yeah, and then they'd give us antidepressant if we did that. And he describes that the highest humility is there in the gopis. Why is it there in the gopis? Because they say to Krishna, "Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace. You may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. And you are completely free to do anything and everything, and I'll keep worshiping you." You know, that's the highest humility. And he says, here's another one. Prema and humility are the cause and effect of each other. In other words, if you're humble, that can cause prema. Prema also causes humility. So if you see someone proud, he doesn't have prema. And the symptoms of prema are, here's some of the symptoms. Of course, we know from the writings of the Acharyas, particularly Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, about the bhavas, the different bhavas, especially the 33 Vyabhachari bhavas, that there's external trembling and insanity. These are some of the symptoms of ecstasy or prema. And Narada Muni continues and he says, prema is the abundance of ecstasy and it's full of the worst suffering too. He actually said you can't really distinguish between the suffering and enjoyment because let's say the experience, I'll explain something of that, of separation from Krishna is so painful, but it also gives you the highest bliss. You'll understand that later on in a few lifetimes. So prema. And he says, prema without ecstasy is like spinach without salt. In other words, it's an integral part. It's not really prema. And then he describes the gopis and he says, Radharani is the personification of prema. And he says, if you want to find out more about prema, you should ask her about it. And then he says to him, well, maybe you should go to Jagannath Puri. But then Uddhava has an argument with him at this point, and he says, you think that Puri is better than Dwarka? And Uddhava says that there's a big advantage in Puri, that there are many dramas of Vrindavan pastimes, and this causes sorrow to devotees because they're feeling separation from Vrindavan. And he said, you will not become humble in Jagannath Puri. You must go to Goloka or Gokula. He said, Lord Jagannath sometimes leaves Jagannath Puri to go to Goloka. And he describes Goloka and Gokul, and Uddhava starts crying. So then Narada advises Gopakumar, you better go to Goloka then. And Uddhava says that Krishna himself will take you to Goloka and Gokul. And Gopakumar closes his eyes and opens them in Gokul. Wow. Gokul means the earthly Goloka. So in Gokul, Goloka Gopal Kumar. Oh, let's go. Oh, cool. Here we are. Gopal Kumar engages in Sankirtan again. Let's see, he goes to Sankirtan all the time. He experiences ecstasy, alternating with great distress, and sometimes he becomes unconscious. And then one time he became unconscious when he was in Vrindavan like this, in the Earth planet, which, let me go back to that, because I don't want to get ahead of myself. One time he became unconscious, and Krishna came and wiped the dust from his face. Just one time. And Gopal Kumar tries to grab Krishna's dhoti, and Krishna runs away from him playing his flute. Gopal Kumar faints, and he falls into the Yamuna, which you see here. And he's transported by a vehicle past Vaikuntha, past Ayodhya, and he arrives in Goloka Vrindavan. And he's surprised. See, that's the vehicle there. That's Goloka Vrindavan. We took that picture when we went there. Next time I'll take a better camera. But anyway. Yeah, next trip. A few months from now. Anyway, so, and he's surprised that it looks just like Gokul in the material world. And he even heard about Kamsa there. So Gopal Kumar tries to speak to the residents of Goloka, but they're not paying him any attention. And Gopal Kumar is very surprised, you know, why isn't anyone talking to me? There's Krishna, of course. And then Gopal Kumar asked, where is Krishna? And an old lady said, he will come back after herding the cows. Then he heard a flute. And everyone was experiencing ecstasy. In other words, the reason the residents of Goloka Vrindavan weren't saying anything is because they were waiting for Krishna. They were standing stunned, looking at the path to see when Krishna was coming. So what happened? And then Krishna came, and he heard his flute. And then Krishna ran to Gopal Kumar, seized him, and fell to the ground. And Krishna was crying profusely. That means tears were just pouring out of Krishna's eyes. And everyone was upset because Krishna fell unconscious. So they thought that Gopal Kumar was a wizard that came from Kamsa, who had knocked Krishna unconscious. So Balaram finally came and made Gopal Kumar hold Krishna's head, and Gopal Kumar lifted Krishna, and Krishna embraced and kissed Gopal Kumar. And Krishna took Gopal Kumar's hand and entered the village. Then he went home with Krishna, and Yashoda showed him very great love, and Krishna gave him his real name, Sarupa, and explained that, you know, he was actually the brother, Subal's brother. He was Subal's brother. And the gopis came, and they bathed Balaram and bathed Krishna. This is interesting. Let's see about the picture. Anyway, that's the next one. Let's go. Oops. That's the problem. I pressed the wrong thing. Anyway, you see Mother Yashoda. Let's go back to the... Yeah. Oops. That's a problem with me. Starts amplifying. Okay. What happened here? Uh-oh. Get past this. Anyway, the gopis, here's an interesting part of the story. The gopis bathed Krishna, and when they were bathing Krishna, Krishna threw his flute to Gopal Kumar because the gopis wanted to steal the flute. And Krishna winked at Gopal Kumar, and the gopis were very upset. Give us this flute! Give us this flute! Because they were so envious of the flute, because the flute has the ability to be at Krishna's lips all the time, whereas that's what they want. So then after that, they sat down to take food, prasadam, I guess. For Krishna, it's bhoga. Krishna eats bhoga. He doesn't eat prasadam. And one thing they had, see, there's Gopal Kumar eating with Krishna. One thing they had was this manohara ladu. which is so delicious you can't resist it. It's called Manohara. It steals the mind. And Radharani made that because Radharani would come every day to cook for Krishna because she had the benediction from Durvasa Muni that whatever she cooked would be sweeter than nectar. So therefore, Krishna acted when he took this Manohara laddu that it had a horrible taste. He curled his lips up and said, "Yuck!" And Radharani was very upset, but this was a trick so he could give it to Gopal Kumara. And so, anyway, so Sarupa is a member of the same family as Radharani. And Krishna gave pan, and he chewed it, and he gave it to Sarupa, his remnants, and Sarupa chewed the pan. And Radharani and Chandravali and Lalita massaged Krishna's feet, and he saw that. It's interesting. Gopal Kumar was able to see all these things. And then Sarupa went home. But dawn, he came back and he saw that Krishna's body was all scratched up. You know, he's wondering, why is Krishna's body all scratched up? You know, like nail marks and everything like that. But it's the signs of conjugal love. And Mother Yashoda was very upset to see this. And she didn't understand what it was. She thought it was the thorns from the previous day, or the gopis had not actually bathed Krishna properly. So Yashoda complained about Krishna's condition. And then Krishna got up and left to take care of the cows. Mother Yashoda dressed him, and Krishna got up. And the gopis tried to follow him, but Krishna sent them back, and then he sent Nanda Maharaj back. And it's described that Krishna felt more pain feeling separation from the gopis than the gopis felt separating from him. So, let's see. I don't want to skip some of this. Okay, so then Krishna interacted with some of the devotees who played the part of demons in the spiritual world. Here's the Keshi demon, for example. The Keshi demon in the material world was killed by Krishna when Krishna put his fist in the mouth and choked the demon to death. But in the spiritual realm, Krishna kicked him and then tamed him and made him jump for the pleasure of the cowherd boys. So Krishna took all the cowherd boys on rides on the Keshi demon. So he's actually a devotee. And also in Aristasura, the Aristasura a demon in the material world, of course, was the bull demon who was killed, and then Radhakund and Shyamakund were manifest as a result of that. So Krishna didn't kill him. He tamed him, and he offered him to Lord Shiva as his bull, to Gopishra Mahadev, as the origin of Nandi. You know, Nandi is his bull that carries him around. Very interesting stories how Krishna dealt with various demons. So, I wish I had more pictures of these things. So then, Akrura came. Akrura, of course, is called Akrura because it means not kind, but he is not unkind, but he is the most unkind because he took Krishna away from Vrindavan and he was cursed by the gopis. So anyway, so Akrura came to get Krishna, and people criticized Nanda and Yashoda for sending Krishna away. And as Krishna was leaving Vrindavan with Akrura, he snuck off, he jumped off the chariot to be with the gopis. And so everyone was looking for him. Finally, Akrura sent Balaram to find out where Krishna was. And Akrura and Balaram convinced Krishna to come. And the gopis chastised Akrura. And then Krishna went to Mathura, did the killing, and sent Nanda Maharaj back. Vasudeva argued that Krishna should stay because it was time for his initiation. And when Sarupa was telling the story to the Mathura Brahman, remember in the beginning he was telling the story to the Mathura Brahman who's also chanting the Gopal mantra, Sarupa just fainted because he couldn't bear to think about the ecstasy or the mood of separation, which is also ecstatic. But then when Krishna heard how unhappy the residents of Braj were, then he went back to Braj. And everyone forgot that Krishna had left Braj. They thought it was a bad dream. Again and again, the same thing happened, and everyone forgot. And all these pastimes occur again and again in Goloka Vrindavan, and they forget. You understand, like one day Kamsa will come, or send Akrura to come, and take Krishna out of Vrindavan, and then that'll happen several days later, and it'll happen several days later from then. So it's constantly recurring to evoke the mood of separation in the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan. Mm. But the residents of Vrindavan never want to leave Vrindavan. Even when Krishna leaves, they refuse to leave because they're attached to Vrindavan. It's interesting, isn't it? So then what happened? Then after Gopal Kumar experienced all this, Radharani called him over and said, I have to talk to you. She said, there's this devotee of mine in Mathura. He's been chanting the Gopal mantra, just like you've been chanting the Gopal mantra. I want you to go and save him. So then we're getting back to that beginning of the story with the Brahmin. I want you to go and save him. So, of course, this is the Goswamis. This is Sanatana Goswami. So I want you to go and save him and bring him to me and give him Krishna consciousness. So what happened is that Sarupa went back to go cool Vrindavan, that is Vrindavan in the material world. And he, after meeting the Brahmin, so then we're getting back to the story where he was preaching to the Brahmin, he saw that the Brahmin still didn't have Krishna prema after hearing this whole story. So he's thinking, why doesn't he have Krishna prema? Sarupa gives him a special blessing. He puts his hand on the Brahmin's head, and the Brahmin starts shaking in ecstasy. And he just, Gopal, Gopal, where are you? Please reveal yourself. And he rolls on the ground, and all of a sudden, the two of them hear the sound of a flute. And then Gopal comes. And Krishna runs and falls on top of them and embraces them, and he gives the Mathura Brahmin his eternal name, which is Jana Sarma, who's also a cowherd boy. So Gopa Kumara actually was the spiritual master of this Jana Sarma. But the spiritual master and the disciple, they go back to Godhead together. So Krishna decorates this Brahmin, Jana Sarma, with his own garments, and Krishna gives him a cowherd form just like his own. Then Krishna waters the cows and plays in the water with his friends, and everyone, including Janasarma and Gopal Kumar, have lunch with Krishna and Balaram, and Krishna serves the boys in what we call concentric circles, and everyone thinks they're eating with Krishna, and they eat forest fruits and roots and food given by their mothers, and Krishna eats from everyone's plate, so everyone's eating Krishna's remnants. And he feeds the boys, too. You know, he feeds the boys. He loves them so much. Can you imagine that relationship between Krishna and the cowherd boys? And the boys feed Krishna, and they put garlands and sandalwood on him, and Krishna goes to sleep, and Sridham becomes the pillow. His arms become the pillow for Krishna. And then Krishna makes faces and jokes and makes everyone laugh. And then Krishna enters Vrindavan, and he turns Janasarma over to Sarupa. And then that ends the whole story there, except we're going back now to Parikshit. So Parikshit tells his mother that to answer her questions, that the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is that there is no realm higher than Goloka Vrindavan, and Goloka Vrindavan is higher than Vaikuntha. And Parikshit tells his mother, Uttara, go to Goloka Vrindavan by getting the dust from the feet of devotees, not simply by traveling to Goloka Vrindavan. And he says to Uttara, you should now meditate on Goloka Vrindavan, and he glorifies Goloka Vrindavan. And this ends with Maharaj Parikshit citing different authorities about the glories of Goloka Vrindavan. So that's the end of the Srimad Bhagavatamrita. Here we see a picture of Sanatana Goswami, who is the author of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita is considered the foundational text for all the books of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. You'll find all the truths of Krishna consciousness in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So that's the end of the presentation. That's pretty fast, isn't it? All right, any questions or comments? Questions, problems, issues? Yeah.
Krishna doesn't left Vrindavan, but there's also saying that Krishna never reached Vrindavan.
Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but sometimes he's not manifest in Vrindavan. In other words, to our eyes. Like right now, Krishna is still in Vrindavan. You turn the lights on. I'll turn this off. Krishna is still in Vrindavan, but you can't see him. There's Prakrita and Aprakrita Leelas. That means the manifest and unmanifest Leelas. So right now, Krishna's Leela is Aprakrita, which means it's not manifest in Vrindavan. But he's still there. And not that you'll be able to see him at this particular point. There's an interesting story in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Once Lord Chaitanya was with his servant, Krishnadas. Was it Krishna? No, it's Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who is Lord Chaitanya's servant, who was accompanying him in Vrindavan. So as he was there, there were different devotees saying that Krishna is dancing every night on the Kaliya serpent in the Jamuna. You know the story? Very few people know the story. Anyway, so it was, everyone was going at night to look at the Jamuna to see Krishna dancing. This is 500 years ago, not 5,000 years ago. So then what happened is that even Lord Chaitanya's servant, Balabhadra, he went to Lord Chaitanya and said, "Can I see Krishna? Can I go tonight to see Krishna?" And Lord Chaitanya went, whack!